Caregivers, have you ever felt like nothing is going right? Well, cheer up and welcome to DAVE, the Caregivers Caregiver Radio Program on Health Star Worldwide, where you'll learn how to avoid that dreaded thing called caregiver burnout and how to survive the grieving process. They say that there are only three types of people in the world: those who are caregivers, those who will become caregivers, and those who will someday need a caregiver. Join Dave and his guests now and every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific on Health Star Worldwide as they share practice tips and tools that you can start using immediately to help get you through this day so you can live your caregiver life more fully and abundantly. Now, here's your caregiver host, Dave Nassani.
From Los Angeles, a big LA welcome to all my listeners out there in Radio Land. I am Dave, the caregiver's caregiver, coming to you live globally through the famous Health Star Worldwide Radio Network. And I have an echo, but I guess if Blade doesn't hear an echo, then I guess we're okay. It'll just drive me crazy. Yes, folks, I'm the guy who's going to help you and guide you through this very difficult journey called caregiving. And we're going to do our very best to help you avoid that dreaded thing called caregiver burnout. That's better. We have an exciting show planned for you today with my lovely co-host, Adrian Gruberg. We will be discussing your caregiving issues. So call in if you want to discuss this or if you have a question. That's right. Caregivers have questions. So stay tuned. You will not want to miss this great show. Another great show. Hey, if you're new to the show, and we get many new listeners every single week, especially from the Blab Television Network, which works most of the time. I'm your host, Dave Nassani, and this show is to caregivers of every single kind. And the one thing we know about caregivers, they're a little predictable because they're usually selfless and sacrificial. And oh, yeah, they're usually burned out because they put everyone else's needs above their own. Because they don't follow the advice of airlines that say, in the event of an emergency, put your oxygen mask on first before you help your loved one with their mask, because they know from experience that you will most likely black out and you won't be of any good to anybody with anything. That's a lot of any's in there. Hey, we also talk about grief and loss here. Grief is a terrible thing. Anytime we suffer loss, we go through a grief process, and it's devastating, you know. Unfortunately, folks, there is only one way out of the grief process, and that's to go through the grief process. You can't go around it. You can't go over it. Can't go under it. Got to go through it. Sorry. And hopefully we can help you through your grief and your loss if you happen to feel like, you know, you're stuck. And I want to thank my last week's guest, Jo Muir, and her wonderful relaxation techniques that she taught us. And you can hear that interview on podcast and, just go to my link on my website, caregiverscaregiver.com. And while you're there, you can take our short quiz to see if you're a candidate for burnout. And just for doing that, because I'm such a nice guy, I'm going to send you my first book absolutely free. What a deal is that? All right, enough of that. Adrian and Blade, yeah. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And thank you.
Can everyone hear me?
Yes.
Good. I can hear me twice. So if I have a strange look on my face, I feel like I'm in the Grand Canyon. Hello, 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 hello.
It sounds weird because technology.
Why do we put up with it, Blade?
Yeah, why do we? I was just asking myself that today. Why do we do it? Changes every single day. We can't.
How long have we had technology for? 100 years? 50 years? Yeah. How did we get along without it?
We did.
We need to go back to the Stone Age, right? And don't worry, ISIS will make sure that one day we may go back to the Stone Age, and maybe we'll be thanking them for that. I don't know. That's the best way to put a silver lining around a cloud, right, Adrian? So Adrian is suffering. She's stuck today at the beach.
I'm stuck at the beach.
I don't know if it's Coney Island or the Jersey Shore. Where are you, Adrian?
On Fire Island.
Where's that?
It's across the Great South Bay in Long Island, and it's a strip of land that's about 22 miles long by about people not even a half mile across.
And
it's
folks,
special.
this is just so like a caregiver. She's just giving up her wonderful vacation for an hour to sacrifice and be with us so that she can minister to you. Thank you, Adrian.
Oh, you're very welcome.
And Blade thanks you as well. So we're here to talk about caregiver issues. Now, gosh, that's almost like an oxymoron. Caregiver issues. Do caregivers even have issues? I thought caregivers' life was perfect and everything went just as planned. And
It just dawns on me. Can I just say one thing? I'd like to make a tribute.
Yes.
To Lonnie Ali, who was the most valiant caregiver that I've ever seen. Muhammad Ali, you'll hear his name forever, and people will forget Lonnie in time. But she knew him when he was very young. They grew up together, and even after he had three marriages and was getting the beginning signs of Parkinson's, she went into it with her eyes wide open.
Mm-hmm.
I love this man. I'll take care of him. And she did. So here's to Lonnie Ali, because she's really superb.
Thank you for that, Adrian. I didn't even think of that. How stupid am I?
Well, no.
Yeah, behind every great man, most like I say at the on the show, three kinds of people in the world. Either you're going to be a caregiver, you are a caregiver, or you're going to need a caregiver. Going to fall into one of those three categories.
Or sometimes both. You can. I mean, I have been a caregiver, and who knows? I may need a caregiver someday. If I'm lucky, I won't.
True.
Right? So, yes. I mean, you can fit, maybe at any given time, you're one or the other. But although my father was ill, and he was the one that was taking care of my mother, so he needed a caregiver, but he didn't have one because my mother was sick as well. So,
yeah.
Anyway, I mean, it's a very complicated issue. And of course, as you get into couples who are growing old together, they care for each other. One probably will end up needing to care a little more. And it's for better or worse, you know.
Yep. And Blade, we're ignoring you. How was your week?
Oh, you good. But my week meaning weekend or the last week?
First, we'll start with your weekend, and then we'll work back to your week.
Last weekend was great because every weekend's great. And I was thinking about I have some friends that I go to church with who don't make it to church, Dave, Adrian. They don't make it to church because they are in their mid-50s, I would think. It's a couple.
Mm-hmm.
And they spend every moment of their life caring for relatives that are older. And that's about seven people. And that's what they do. Seven people.
Wow.
Three or four of them with Alzheimer's. Can you imagine?
Wow.
You know, and it's not like you chose to do this as a profession. This is the lot you were given. You know, so we never see them. And this is what they do at the age of 55 or 56, along with care for their children. And I was thinking about this. Is like, well, is it proper not to go to church when out of all the things that you don't do, maybe that's one you should do. I don't know. I was just thinking about that.
Well, that is kind of like church. They're ministering, you know.
Yeah. I mean,
the pastor doesn't go to church. He's doing church. So maybe they're doing church. But just like caregivers, even pastors need to go somewhere and get fed. And if you're doing church like this, they should find something during the week, midweek, and get fed. Because if you don't get fed, you just give and give and give and give without taking a little. What happens, Adrian?
Well, you burn out.
That's right.
I think for those people who can't make the time, the internet has provided alternatives in terms of spiritual care and in terms of psychological and emotional support, if they can take advantage of it. It's there. New things are arising all the time for these people to be able to get some sort of help, a boost, you know, that they're not, just knowing you're not alone going through this. But caring for seven people is a lot. And can take its toll. And if going to church for them is something that was energizing, they should seek something out that refreshes them and fulfills them. There's no question about the fact that caregiving can be very fulfilling, but it's a different type of fulfillment that I'm talking about.
This is
when
a quick
you
thing.
Fill yourself up with light.
This is a quick question for both of you. So, if your job is to worship. And many religions, it is. It is to worship. It is to go to your place of worship and worship. That is your job.
Uh-huh.
So they're not able to do that. So because they don't have time to do that. So here's a tricky one. What if in this day and age, your deliverer of the message, whatever his title may be or her title may be, is doing a live stream? Are you worshiping if you're at home and you don't go to an actual place of worship? If you're watching him on the internet doing a live stream?
Well, personally, I think you could pray anywhere.
Sure. Well, that's known. But would it be a sin to watch at home, watching an internet live stream instead of going to a house of worship? Think about that.
I don't.
That's heavy stuff.
But I don't think it's a sin.
Okay.
I really don't. But I met someone who goes to the kind of church where, anything is required of you, including attendance,
mm-hmm.
As long as you practice the tenets of the faith, and you're a good person.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I ask.
That's what I'm thinking.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What do you think, Dave?
Well, yes, I believe that you can. I don't think we should be legalistic. I think being there in person is better than being there on a television set. But I think if you can't be there in person, I've done it. Maybe you're just exhausted and you had a rough week and you can't crawl out of bed. You turn on the TV. It's better than not.
Right.
And you shouldn't judge yourself. God is a lot more understanding than we give him credit for, Blade. And he's a lot more forgiving than we give him credit for.
No hellfire and brimstone. No. Just brought that up.
You're serving by being a caregiver.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. We're doing his work. I think there's a scripture that says, whatever you do to the least of these, my brethren, you do unto me.
See, I'm Jewish, and on even the holiest days of the year, if you can't be at synagogue for a valid reason, God forgive. He'll understand, he'll forgive, and other people are praying for you.
Do they have, Adrian, do they have synagogues and services on TV or live streaming? Do they do that like the mega churches do?
I haven't seen one ever.
Right.
That's an interesting point. There
is
certainly a lot of shows where there are rabbis who do cross talk about morality and all sorts of ethical issues. And even on, you know, on the State of Israel, and I don't equate Israel and Judaism. I'm not one of those people. But, I mean, my mother was a fervent Zionist. I am not. She was also very religious, but I think that there's probably room for that, especially now that there is this streaming form of TV. I think it would be, I would be surprised if somebody hadn't done it, but I'm not aware of it.
Hmm.
Yeah, I do it often. Of course, my wife, you know, it's very hard for her to get put together. She doesn't go out unless she looks like the Queen of England, you know.
Yeah, well, she's looking better than the Queen of England. Come on. Liz just turned 90.
Yeah, well, she's in denial about that part.
Yeah.
So, you know, lately she's been watching more of it on television, and it will occasionally come in person, and I think that's okay. So I was looking on the internet for the five top issues that caregivers deal with. And guess what number one is?
Burnout.
Isolation.
What?
I said isolation.
I say burnout.
Adrian's closer. It's lack of privacy. Would that be isolation?
No.
No, the opposite. Because here's they're saying they want to be isolated.
Mine is isolated from the community, from friends, from family, from other family, not being in touch with other people because you're so in touch with that one person. Privacy's part of that, but certainly not. I would never have thought that'd be number one. I would have thought burnout or
the pay.
Yeah.
Everyone in caregiving families needs privacy, apparently. The freedom to exist in their own space. Having physical privacy means boundaries that let everyone in the house get away from 24/7 interactions. It's especially challenging in small living spaces or when the live-in elder has dementia. The loss of social appropriateness that can be part of a dementia like Alzheimer's can lead a loved one to barge into bedrooms and bathrooms, for example. It's kind of like the mother who says, I need to be away from, or I need to be around an adult for a few minutes because I'm going crazy. Mental privacy, too. Being able to continue some version of long-established family time and traditions. And maybe that's just characteristic of Alzheimer's and dementia.
Is the hours there on the list of the top five?
What do you mean?
The hours, the working hours, the schedule?
Long hours?
Well, number two, ignoring sleep deprivation. Number three, lone soldier syndrome.
That's isolation.
Number four, not anticipating what's coming next. And number five, overwhelming care tasks.
I think number four is interesting because read number four again. Let me just make sure I get the words right.
Not anticipating what's coming next.
Yes.
Like firefighters, caregivers tend to stomp out one flaming crisis after another. Unfortunately, it's an exhausting way to live and fuels the stressful feeling that your life is at the mercy of an unpredictable force in your home. And hold that thought, Adrian, because we're going to take a quick break and we'll talk about this when we get back.
Okay.
Being a caregiver takes a special person with passion and compassion. But even you can become a little burned out from time to time. The Caregiver's Caregiver Radio Show was developed to help you overcome obstacles, adversity, and burnout, as well as just having a place to rest, relax, and recharge your batteries. We've all been there, and you're not alone. Now, you can take The Caregiver's Caregiver with you. Get the top 25 radio shows in convenient form that plugs right into your USB car stereo or computer. Learn the techniques, tips, and encouragement we all need to better handle the day-to-day challenges. For around $1 per show, just $29.77, get the credit card-sized USB card to have with you anytime you need a caregiver's pick-me-up. Just go to DaveTheCaregiversCaregiver.com and order yours today. Go to DaveTheCaregiversCaregiver.com now. Consider it an investment in you, and ultimately, an investment in them. Caregivers, have you ever felt like nothing is going right? Well, cheer up and tune into Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver radio program on HealthStar Worldwide, where you'll learn how to avoid that dreaded thing called caregiver burnout and how to survive the grieving process. With roughly 100 million caregivers in the U.S. and Canada alone, it's about one-third of the population. That means everybody probably knows somebody caring for a loved one. They say that there are only three types of people in the world: those who are caregivers, those who will become caregivers, and those who will someday need a caregiver. Mothers of special needs children, family members caring for elderly parents, spouses, siblings, or friends caring for disabilities such as Alzheimer's, dementia, cancer, stroke, heart disease, diabetes, muscular dystrophy, AIDS, autoimmune diseases. The list goes on. Join Dave and his guests every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific on HealthStar Worldwide as they discuss avoiding caregiver burnout and surviving grief. You'll start feeling better in no time as you begin to receive practical tips and tools that you can start using immediately to help you get through the day and to live life more fully and abundantly.
And we're back with Adrian Gruberg, president and founder of The Caregiver Space. Over 150,000 fans on her Facebook
page.
Yeah,
we broke 150,000.
I figured you had to.
We did.
Congratulations.
Did
you have a party? Birthday cake?
Not yet. We'll wait. We're all together.
And you fit 150,000 candles on that cake?
I'd like to. I mean, God knows they're deserving of at least a candle. Each one of these people, yeah.
All right. So you were saying, Adrian, not anticipating what's coming next.
Not like anticipating what's coming next.
Yeah.
I think, well, from day to day, I think that's probably true. I believe, you know, like, oh, God, what's it going to be today? You know, what kind of calamity will show up today? That's the way it was for both Steve and his mother. But if what's next is you're anticipating someone's passing, I think you're not living so much with uncertainty as with fear and in many cases denial and anticipatory grief. So sometimes you know what's next, ultimately next, you know, like what's coming.
Yeah, and I think it would be a blessing to ignore what's coming next, because they say 90% of what we worry about hardly ever happens.
Right. But like I would know, oh, is this going to be a day where I'm going to all of a sudden need to take Sylvia for a blood transfusion?
Yeah.
You know, like, is she going to wake up strong enough, or will I need to rush her to Mount Sinai to get another blood transfusion? And I didn't know that from day to day. But I did know that she might need a transfusion. So mm-hmm. I've lived knowing all of these floating ifs, what might happen. You know, like, Is she going to sleep all day? Is she going to fall down in the bathtub? Mm-hmm. You know, because she refused to use the bath chair. Their letting go of their independence is very difficult. So that puts them in greater danger. But you have, the caregiver has to be more vigilant as things are being taken away, or so that they catch them when something happens, so that they're finally able to take away the car keys, because the person has absolutely no business driving with it, you know, with their limited, not limited, well, we'll say limited, with newly limited abilities. That, yeah. Some of these people just, driving was their be all and end all. It was their control, and something they could control that was bigger than them and the universe. And taking those car keys away can be pretty difficult for the caregiver. Yeah. But I think that the ultimate next is losing someone. And it's not something that you can easily talk about with the person you're caring for, but it's on their minds all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, what happens when? It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when.
Yeah, they say once a week, you should devote an hour to focusing on if this, then this scenarios.
Right.
Preparing for what if. Yep.
Because you can almost do it on paper rather than have it thrown at you at the last minute.
Yeah. This type of thinking helps you at least begin the process of considering where you might find more help, what kind of home modifications would help,
right,
and how you'd get them done, alternative living situations, and so on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I'll tell you something. It's not a lot of fun for me to admit that I have to put a shower bar in my shower at this point, because I don't know when I'm going to need it. Mm. The if I don't think is there anymore. I think eventually I'll need it. But it's a smart thing to do. So as a single senior, you know, not living with somebody full time, I have to be mindful of the things that I'm going to need to be the best caregiver to myself for as long as I can. And then recognize, as a caregiver, I'm used to looking for that, so I can do it for myself and take every precaution for myself, because I've lived through it with other people. If you're following what I'm saying.
Well, what were you saying, Blade, that you thought the number one issue was? I forgot.
I said, what did I say? Oh, first of all, the hours. Second of all, the what if, just like Adrian was saying a couple of minutes ago. And third of all, you don't have any fun. There's no fun.
Yeah,
that's true.
Okay. You know, I did a show that caregiving can be fun, and a bunch of caregivers, like, cut off my head.
Right.
They were isolated. Fun. This isn't fun. You try cleaning up, you know, puke and wiping diapers and messes. You know, I'm very fortunate, but if I have to be careful what I wish for now, if my situation was worse, I'm just hardwired so that I will try to turn it into a fun thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if I'm not having fun, what's the use? But there are ways to have fun. You know, it's like the boy who has to sweep out the barn, and he's using the broom like he's dancing with, you know, Marilyn Monroe. You know, I mean, there's ways to have fun, even if you're cleaning up poop.
Yeah, you have to remember to bring that levity into your life.
Wait a minute, Adrian, I'm sorry. I want to hear that. Give me one good way to have fun when you're cleaning up poop.
Well, listening to music,
I think of the story of the kid who had to clean out the barn, right? You got hay and you got poop. And so he's in there, and he's just cleaning this poop out of there with a vengeance. And someone says, "Why are you so excited and enthusiastic about cleaning out this barn?" He says, "With all this horse poop in here, there's just got to be a pony in here somewhere."
Yeah. I like that.
Optimistic at the very least.
Mm-hmm. No, I
turn it into a game
when you ask. Yeah. I think for me to have what I'll call my music, the thing that what I like to listen to on in the background while everything else is going down.
Yeah, sing
so,
and dance.
Dance as if nobody's watching.
Music is a great distraction.
Yeah.
I mean, when Charlene and I are like having an argument or something, because sometimes we have just the dumbest arguments, and it's like, you know what, just turn on the music, and I start singing.
Mm-hmm.
Motown. There's nothing like Motown to just change your attitude.
You sort of know what kind of music to play for whatever occasion it might be. Yeah.
And it puts her in a better mood too.
Yes. Yes.
Music calms the savage beast. It really does.
Yes, it does.
Science behind that.
Did we answer
your question?
Yeah.
And what do you think?
Well, I said this before. What do I think, Adrian?
Yeah.
Good stiff drink.
that works, too.
Or two. That's what Dave said. It works sometimes.
That gets dangerous.
It does.
Or margarita or a glass of wine.
Yeah, but it gets dangerous.
Yes.
It could be habit forming.
It could be habit forming and stay around a lot longer than you intend it to.
And that stuff is addicting.
Mm. Yeah. Or Valium, yes.
What about, I'm thinking of other games you can play.
Depending on their level of clarity.
Right.
There are word games you can play. I mean, there are certainly board games you could play. We used to do geography in the car, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Adrian, we should invent a caregiver board game.
Oh, there's a beauty.
I like that. I'm writing it down.
How would you? But how would you win? See, there's a good one, Dave. How would you win?
I don't know.
I know. You don't burn out. See, you have four players and three players burn out and the remaining caregiver doesn't burn out. Think about it.
Your mother was just diagnosed with dementia. Go back 5 spaces.
No, 5 years. Yeah.
Think of the potential.
Right. Or you just received a pay raise. Go forward 3 spaces.
And as far as I know, there is no caregiving game of any kind on the market.
No.
We'd have the market by the tail.
Well, it's also their hard group to sell to. I mean, very financially challenged.
You would call it, the game would have to be called Burnout.
Burnout. Yeah.
It's a great name for it. Burnout, the Caregiver's Challenge.
It's interesting.
Cool.
And you'd have Mr. instead of Mr. Mustard and Professor whatever, you'd have caregiver statues. You know, Dave, Adrian, you know, and you'd have your own statues. You know, and you could put some other famous caregivers, like, what was her name?
Florence Nightingale.
Yes. Yes. And one of the statues could be Florence Nightingale and some of the other guests you've had as statues.
Oh, okay.
I want to be, what was her name, Dave? Marie, who did you talk to, the author, a couple weeks ago?
Oh, Harriet.
Harriet. She could have a statue of Harriet. She could be one of those. I want to be Harriet today.
Who, Harriet Hodgson?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
No, Harriet, she was the guest. Remember, she just wrote a book.
I keep wanting to say Tatum or something.
Promote the book on the first of the month.
Harriet Tramer. Harriet, oh, not Hodgson?
No, Tramer.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Harriet Hodgson is a marvelous caregiver. She's probably the reason that I wouldn't dare write a book, because she's written everything you could possibly need as a caregiver. And she's still writing books. She's remarkable. But, I remember Harriet Turner. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Dave, is there a list in the internet or Adrian that has the five greatest caregivers of all time?
No. How would we know that?
I know. But see, the first word out of your mouth was Florence Nightingale. So.
Well, I mean, that was Clara Barton. You know.
See, there's another one.
Mother Teresa.
What? Mother Teresa, you said?
Mother
yeah.
Teresa, sure.
See?
I mean, there are quite a few, but they're not family caregivers. We're talking about, they're professional caregivers, okay. If there's an extraordinary professional caregiver, they deserve to be there.
But the problem is
they voted on by the care receivers.
Yes.
Yeah.
Caregiver of the month.
Hall of Fame. Would that be worth it then? I mean, if you got all accolades for caregiving, isn't that an issue? Maybe there's just not enough accolades for caregiving.
Well, there certainly aren't. There are people who are caregivers who don't even want to.
Yeah, they don't want it, but it's always nice to hear.
They don't want to have that before their name or after their name. You know, they won't identify as caregivers. They want no part of that name. And they are, clearly. They refuse to be pigeonholed. And I don't think it's a bad thing to be pigeonholed as. It's not the only thing that any of these people are capable of. Think of how many challenges a caregiver has to think about and work out. There are a lot of skills involved. I don't think that they should be ashamed to be a caregiver.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Very, very interesting. But I do so many things. Why should I be called just a caregiver?
Well, listen, we're up on another break, and we'll be right back while Blade runs the book trailer.
Overcoming Unbelievable Hardships is a touching story about Charlene, a stroke survivor. Back in 1996, Charlene was a healthy, normal, very active 52-year-old woman whose amazing talents resembled that of both a Martha Stewart and Wonder Woman. But all that changed when she suffered a massive stroke that left her severely speech impaired and paralyzed on her right side. She met her husband Dave 21 years earlier. They had a wonderful fairy tale storybook-like courtship that soon culminated in their marriage. Charlene had just come out of a marriage where after 10 years she received two black eyes and a broken nose by her former husband when he came home high on speed. Charlene believed in no second chances of any kind for abuse, so she left. Finding herself all alone in the world with her 5 and 10-year-old daughters, Cynthia Lorraine and Deborah Lynn, she started raising them by herself for the next 2 years. Then fate brought them all together. After falling in love with Charlene, Cindy, and Debbie, their love then produced Rebecca. They all had a wonderful, normal life for the next 20 years. But today, things are very different for everyone. One arm, one leg, 100 words. Overcoming Unbelievable Hardships is the amazing story of a woman's fight to survive all that life had thrown her way. Everyone who knows Charlene is thoroughly amazed at how she lives day by day, month by month, year by year, and with a smile on her face and hope in her heart that everything is going to be okay. Her faith in God is her foundation in this hope that everything happens for a reason and what doesn't kill her will make her stronger. She inspires everyone that meets her. Best-selling author Lynn Barrington says, "If you think you have it bad, read this book. This is a beautiful, genuine story from the heart. It is inspiring and easy to read. When you finish this book, you'll be able to look at your concerns in a new light." Nine-time Grammy and Dove Award recipient, the godfather of contemporary gospel music, Andre Crouch, says, Charlene just won't let the promises of God go, and she has not let her circumstances get in the way of her faith. She's not just a survivor, she's more than a conqueror. As the Bible states, you will be encouraged by her testimony, regardless of what you're going through. Order your copy today from the author's website, onearmoneleg100words.com. And Dave and Charlene will personally autograph your copy. Enjoy.
And we're back with Adrian Gruberg and Blade. He's so famous, he only has one name.
That's right.
So some of the other issues that family caregivers think about. Determining where your parents should live. Making them safe at home. Finding senior housing. Covering your legal bases, managing finances. I think you were talking about that one, Blade. Paying for care, managing medical care, talking about the future. Oh, that's a scary one. Coping with the reality of caregiving, finding help locally, dealing with death, and so on. Any of those grab you?
I love that Adrian said, sorry, Adrian, go ahead.
There are a lot of issues that people put off about because they have to do with death and finances and where to, you know, what to do as far as a home, a facility, getting a smaller place that's easier to manage if the person is still, you know, well, but losing strength and can't really, has no business being in a big apartment or house anymore. Downsizing, decluttering your life, all of these things I think are really, really important. But dealing with the legal and financial issues, that's one thing that I think everyone should deal with before the need arises. Because once the need arises, there's a different kind of mindset that goes into making those decisions. Yeah. And you don't they don't necessarily get what they want. And that's when you start to feel forced into doing this and forced into doing that, you know. But my son put me here. You know, well, no, I'm sorry. I would rather have her feeling, this unknown person feeling. This was what I decided I needed to happen to my life once such and such happened to me. I mean, my friend Emily's mother-in-law lived alone. Her husband passed away, and she lived by herself in a very manageable house. She worked till she was about 80 and just decided, okay, I'm not going to be able to continue to do this. Let's go find a place for me to move. Where I will have people around me and that I will like. It's a very brave thing to admit that you can't do things anymore. And she became part of the process of what's next. And I think more and more people of my generation, I'm a boomer, I think that we're going to make our desires known. I myself have long-term care so that I never have to leave my home if I don't want to. But if I start to feel just totally isolated, that there's no one around, I might have to consider what my life would be like if I went to a residence. Yeah. And if I really got sick, then we really got other problems. But when you're single, you think about this, about what you're going to do, when and if a lot. There are specifically single issues. If you've been a caregiver, you think about them a lot more than probably non-caregivers think about them. They haven't had to think about them with somebody before. You know. So, anyway.
You don't hear a lot about caregivers getting counseling, do you?
Yeah.
And yet, probably they need counseling more than anybody. But there's so many issues, you know, their life. Like, my new book I'm writing, we've come up with four different titles. We keep changing it. And I think we have one that's going to stick now, because it really gets to the inner feeling of a caregiver.
Uh-huh.
And here it is. It's my life too, exclamation mark.
Absolutely.
When to say yes, when to say no in long-term caregiving.
Right. Very good.
Because the life of a caregiver is probably the most important life. Yes, we should take care of our loved ones, but, you know, like the analogy in the airplane, our mm-hmm. mask is more important than their mask.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and it sounds so selfish. And, you know, we've tried to find a title to catch all of this. And we went from one extreme, the selfish caregiver, to, you know, the capable caregiver, to, you know, just trying to find that balance to help people understand that their life matters,
mm-hmm.
that their future is just as important as their care receiver's future, if not mm-hmm. more. You know, and then as quickly as someone became a caregiver, they could cease becoming a caregiver.
And then
what do? There are so many caregivers and they're just stuck in limbo. They can't shift gears that quickly.
Right.
They just don't know what to do anymore. They're so used to giving and giving and giving. Many of them go volunteer, and that may be good. That may not be good for them.
Yeah.
But they don't know what else to do.
Yep.
Any comments on that?
Well, I think it's very valid. I mean, if somebody stopped taking care of themselves, because and were either on the verge of burnout or had suffered burnout, they would find it very hard to switch gears at that point. You know, that's where the counseling comes in. So pointing it out to them ahead of time, I think more and more people know what a caregiver does and they know the plight, but not enough, not to what extent it can be. And writing a book like this sounds like it deals with those issues. It's important.
Yeah, I'm excited about it.
How many pages is it?
It's going to be about 160 to 220 pages, somewhere around mm-hmm. in there.
Are there a lot of lists?
No. About maybe seven chapters.
Okay.
Chapters like, you know, using the when to say yes, when to say no. Like, it's okay to say yes to this and no to that. And then another mm-hmm. chapter would be, it's okay to say yes to this and no to that, and just kind of.
Right. It's interesting. People have told me that I should write a book, and my feeling is there are other people who are doing that. I don't have to. You know, that so much can be said. I don't have the need to write a caregiving book. I mean, you're in a unique situation, you know, where Charlene is really part of the process. So it's a whole different point of view.
Well, then, Adrian, if you don't want to write a book because so many others have written before you, well, then invent a board game.
That's what I have.
She got excited about that, didn't she?
I'm a game person.
I'm still thinking about that.
This is from God's, from my lips to his ears. This is supposed to happen.
I haven't stopped thinking about it since the beginning of the show.
Caregiver board. Financial implications, Adrian.
Yeah, the caregiver board game. It'd be like chutes and ladders. You know?
Yeah.
You work your way all the way up to this and then whoop. All the way down to the bottom. One little thing can set you back so far.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Caregivers would buy it just because it's got their name on it.
Yeah.
I would. Think of the free publicity you'd get.
There's so many shoots in the game of caregiving, aren't there? There's so many shoots and so few ladders.
And it's a game designed to keep you laughing about and so now the game is a distraction from reality. Mm-hmm. Oh, we got somebody calling in. Let's see who this person is. It's a doctor, Dr. Corey.
Hello.
Welcome to the show. Are you a real doctor?
Yes, a real one.
A real one. So what is your area of specialty?
I have a, my area of specialty, I mean, I'm a researcher, PhD.
Uh-huh.
I'm basically working on a study on the area of telepathic communications or empathic communications.
Ooh.
Listen, we're going to end the show in about 1 minute. If you want, hang on, and we'll talk a little more after we say goodbye to our audience. Adrian, how can people get a hold of you again? Hi, Wendy. She's
Adrian,
so
A-D-R-I-E-N-N-E, at thecaregiverspace.org. And that's my email. And just put a www in front of it instead of the Adrian, and you got the website.
All right. Well, thanks for tuning in, and we're here every Wednesday at noon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Caregivers Caregiver Radio Program with Dave Nassani. Join Dave each Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific, or catch the program anytime, 24/7, right here on HealthStar Worldwide.